Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all new bottle for an all new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. And as Ben smelled for himself and he likes it, it's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio. We're back for another week of the Almost Famous podcast. We've had a great time recently doing some in-depth episodes with some incredible guests. I mean, here in the last month, we've had Andy Dorfman. We just had Jason Tardik. If you're a fan of the podcast, or even if you're not a fan of the Almost Famous podcast, I know you're going to love the in-depth episodes. So go back and listen to those. Those will be wherever you can listen to the Almost Famous podcast. But with that, we're back. I'm Ben.
I'm Ashley.
And Ashley comes on to the podcast today. And you've heard me tell it before. I'll never back down from this statement. Ashley Iaconetti is a absolutely beautiful human, physically and soulfully, inside and
Thank
out.
Thank you. Thanks.
But she shows up to the podcast today, and I'm learning more and more as I go about women. I didn't know how much I didn't know about women until really this podcast, getting engaged to Jessica, and just being more curious about the ins and outs of a woman's life. Ashley mm-hmm. shows up to the podcast and her face is like red and it has like skin falling off of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen this before. Ashley, for myself and our listeners, can you educate me on what is going on?
Okay, well, I'll use this time to shout out Olga Lawrenson. She's like my skincare go-to. She has really been the woman in charge of Halle Berry's skin for like the past 20 years. Oh, wow. So like, if there's somebody to listen to, it's Olga. So I have done 2 vampire facials to get rid of my melasma over the past couple months. And they just really, they weren't as effective as I would like them to have been. So
what's a vampire facial? I'm going to interrupt you because you got to help me out here.
I don't know if you ever saw those pictures of Kim Kardashian where she had like blood on her face. So basically it's a little needle and it's like a think of an electronic pen with needles on it. And they like inject your blood into that needle thing, that pen. And then they like stab your face all over and it's like collagen producing and it makes you like flake off that first layer of skin. Because that wasn't as effective with my really bad melasma, it's just like I never had it until like a year and a half ago. And then all of a sudden I was like, why do I have a mustache that's just not of hair? It's just not of hair. And then it gets worse in the sun. It's people who are like olive toned. They are more susceptible to it.
I know melasma because Jess has melasma.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm doing now the gold standard. So the vampire facial takes like 3 days to recover from. This, what I have on my face now, the Cosmolon peel, is definitely something where you have to hide a little bit more. You actually have to keep a face mask on for 10 hours. So on Saturday, I didn't do anything and I kept like, yeah, it's easy now. But this whole thing is great because it's easy now. So now I'm red and peely, at least for the next 4 days. And I'll probably not be back to my regular skin for like another month or so. But when I'm done, the before and afters, if they are accurate and they're all over the internet, I might not have melasma at all anymore. And if you guys don't know what melasma is, it's pigmentation. It's darker pigmentation spots around your face. And with women, especially when it's hormone related, it often goes in that mustache area. Yeah. So I texted your fiance about it. Yeah. And I told her what a perfect time it is for, you know, to do this because of the mask and being able to stay home and all that.
Yeah, she'll be getting it.
She goes, I said, I can tell you who my esthetician is. And she just sends it to you. And then she FaceTimes you the instructions. She goes, that would be amazing. I love that it's at home, even better. So your fiance is going to look like this before you know it, but then she's going to feel so confident about not having to wear foundation all the time to cover up those brown spots.
Well, here's the thing. What happens when you fall in love? I'm learning this, right? I find Jessica Clark to be like the most beautiful human ever created. I do. But I am now also realizing how much I just love her in general. And so like, I know that sounds really corny and but like, she could have like, what I know my reaction to her would be very similar to just being like, wow, hun, this is really interesting. Like, I don't hate it. I get why, but like now I'm just more intrigued. Like, it's not even, there's like nothing she could do really that'd be like a turnoff. I feel like a complete turnoff. It would just be more of like a curiosity of like, so you did this so your face can just like flake off.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I respect it. And to close this thought, you made a comment that I'm super intrigued by, because melasma was an insecurity of Jessica's for a long time. And yeah, even when she first started dating me, she was like, yeah, I have this like dark thing above my lip and it's yeah, weird. And I know it's like, but it's like nothing I can do about it. You know, like she would try to explain it to me. I get it. It's not ideal. But yeah, you're saying that like melasma could be gone for like a period of time forever.
Well, I mean, this will significantly subside it. And then you're going to have to use other products that will keep it at bay.
Wow. Wow. What yeah, a thing.
I know, it's so crazy.
To be a woman. Just,
oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
Absolutely Jared incredible experience, but just a wildly, there's just so many things that you do that I respect, love, and also.
You're very
sweet. Yeah, it's wild.
You guys are so lucky. Like, Jared and I laugh all the time about what, like, we have to go through biologically that you guys won't ever.
Yeah. I mean, I have hair all over my body. It will never
and
leave
fine.
Me.
Yeah,
and it will never.
Fine.
It will never be ripped off my body. Well, hey, with that, we have a great podcast coming up. We're going to share a little bit more about my life and what's going on in my life. And then following, we're going to go and interview one of our favorites of all time, Chris Strandberg. And then we have hot topics to talk about. Yes, and there are some hot topics out there. But before we get to me, let's just take a quick break. And we'll be back with the Almost Famous Podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but look
so,
at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what up, everybody? It's Wells Adams. I have a podcast called The Wells Cast. You might know me from being the bartender in Bachelor in Paradise. No. Winner of Worst Cooks in America Celebrity on Food Network. No. Cool. E-Entertainment Red Carpet Correspondent. Nah. Starting my first radio show when I was 16 years old and been in radio for the past 15 years. Nothing. Engaged to Sarah Hyland from Modern Family. Yeah, that's okay, fine. Whatever. I have a podcast called The Wells Cast, where basically we talk to famous and successful people and find out where they came from and how the heck they got so stinking rich. And we got something for everybody. You big into sports? All right, we got you. Rashad Jennings and Victor Oladipo. Are you a music fan? We've gotten the lowdown from Rascal Flatts, Brett Michaels, Lance Bass. You big into reality TV? Chris Harrison, Johnny Bananas. You want to find out more about film and TV stars? Okay. Brian Bumgardner from The Office. Dave Coulier from Full House. Scott Eastwood. It's a great way to see what the blueprint is for success. Listen to The Wells Cast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts these days.
All right, Ben. So what's the big news that you have to tell us?
Well, Ashley, this is... it's weird, because this news is, I can't understate how big of a deal this is to me. And I want to give a little backstory for the Almost Famous podcast, because this is the first time I'll be really talking about it. But 2 years ago, and we've talked about a lot on the podcast. Like, I don't know if I struggle. I fall quickly, if I'm in a bad place, I fall quickly into self-doubt. I fall quickly into feeling isolated and disconnected. And then, you know, I have this show happen a few years ago where I admit that I feel unlovable. And that felt like my buddies still joke with me about that. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of joked about it too, because it was a huge moment for me on The Bachelorette, but it didn't feel like it. It felt like just like a passing by conversation that Kayla and I had that, you know, you see on the show a lot and you don't know the depth of it. But when I said that, it was the first time in my life on the show that I had actually admitted something that was true to myself, that was like vulnerable and hard to admit, that like I truly didn't feel like I was worthy of love, or I didn't feel like I would find somebody that would say, hey, you're the person for me for the rest of my life. And and then I realized that that even went deeper. Like, it rolled into my friendships. Like, why would my friends, like, why would my friends be really friends with me? Like, what do I offer them? Why would they want to spend their time and share their life with me? It rolled into my relationship with God and my relationship with myself. So anyways, 2 years ago, I started on a project to write a book about all of this. And it's been 2 years of like really weird conversations with myself, really hard conversations with myself. You know, a lot of the times as I come onto the podcast and I share, hey, I'm just struggling with envy or I'm struggling with doubt, it's because I was in the midst of writing this thing and I was pulling back these old stories and these old memories and the memories that are still hitting me today, reliving them and trying to put them into a book. And today, today, the book cover was announced, which means the book is done. It is turned in. It is edited. It is completed. The cover is released. And I am now on the road to releasing this thing that has been, it has really taken up the most time of anything I've ever done in my life.
I totally understand what you mean when you get so introspective with yourself that like it's almost when somebody comes up to you during that point where you're like, I'm just so into myself. I'm just like so in my head right now. Like I can't even socialize. Do you do that? Like when I think that's what you're talking about, right? When you're like working on writing, like when I'm in the writing zone for some reason, I get really sucked in and it's hard for me to come out. Like I need to like actually like gradually push myself out within a couple hours. Like I can't just go from writing to being social.
No, you're spot on. Especially, you know, like the book is broken up into four sections: connection with self, connection with others, connection romantically, and a connection with God. And like within this, I shared things that my parents didn't know about me, like my problems with addiction, my problems with doubting my faith, doubting a God above, my problems, you know, obviously with feeling unlovable, like truly feeling unlovable. And then, you know, going back to like, I always like kind of picture when I'm in my unhealthiest place, and I don't live in this unhealthy place all the time, but when I'm in my unhealthy place, I do. I feel like the kid looking in at the party of all my friends that I wasn't invited to. And I feel like I walk through life sometimes, especially when I was writing this, feeling that way. Like I'm pulling back these memories. I'm speaking this into myself. And as a result, I'm living it out in my daily life. And it put me in some weird places the last 2 years. But my hope with all of it. So my hope the whole time and what like my friends and my family and Jessica continue to reinforce in me is like I'm doing this so that maybe somebody out there will feel less alone when they read it. Like,
absolutely.
Like I'm living this and like going through all of these weird emotions because maybe somebody will read it and go, wow, I've always thought like I was the only one that felt left out. I always thought like I was the weird one. I always thought that nobody really liked me or that there was no big purpose to my life. And maybe there's just one, I believe that there's just one person listening to this or one person that will read the book. And they'll maybe they'll feel less alone and they'll take that into their daily life than it was all worth it.
And that's what's going to happen. You guys, I got an advanced copy of the book and it's so fantastic. Ben's writing, you can hear his voice in it. It's amazing. He's going to do just what he was just saying that he hopes for. There's going to be so many people that read it and feel less alone, which the title of the book is
Alone in Plain Sight. So
the cover is beautiful. I'm so happy for you. I love that you have turned something that you felt was just you and really found an audience that needs to hear the message.
I appreciate you, Ashley. Thank you. No, it's really exciting. I really appreciate you reading it. And you know, it's not a tell-all book. I know for some that's going to be kind of throwing off of what is expected but I guess for me, I don't have a lot to tell. Like we talk about the show all the time on this podcast and there's just not a lot hidden anymore in my journey of the Bachelor world. And if there is, then I hope to be able to think of those things and say on this podcast and share those experiences. And so when I write this, it was, you know, it does go into like my relationships from the show. Like there is a section on Lauren in there and Lauren and I were able to talk about that and I got her approval on that.
That's great.
And because, you know, she's been a huge part of my life and a great part in many ways. But there isn't the juicy details of the show, but there is hopefully honesty about the show and honesty about the experience that maybe isn't known or maybe would be relatable. So I appreciate you reading it. I just wanted to share that with the Almost Famous listeners because this is the first time I've been talking about it publicly. I've kept this to my chest for a long time now. I'm ready to start sharing it. You can start pre-ordering right now.
Great Christmas gift.
It's a great Christmas gift. And I'll be talking about it more and more, but hopefully won't bug everybody on this podcast and talk about it too much, but it probably will come up. So Alone in Plain Sight has been announced. It is my book. Can't even believe I'm saying that, but I am. And well, that's all we got to talk about with that here. Any questions, feel free to reach out and I'd love to answer them.
And so don't go to Ben's book for juicy bachelor details, but you should come here to the Almost Famous podcast for juicy bachelor details. And we are going to give you some right now. Let's go through our list of hot topics, Ben.
Oh my gosh, Ashley. And there are still hot topics reigning supreme in Bachelor Nation. Yes. We're going to start here with probably the one that everybody's wondering about. We're not going to make you wait to the end of the episode for this one. We're going to start right now with the Cassie Randolph and Colton Underwood situation. Again, this is a sensitive topic. We have had massive amounts of updates and news come in. Cassie's restraining order was granted a little bit less than a week ago. And now the text messages have been released. So, Ashley, what do we know about this, and where do we stand?
Okay, well, last week we went over the fact that he apparently put a tracker on her car, that he was in the alley outside her bedroom at her parents' around 2 a.m., that he was also kind of lurking about her apartment in Los Angeles. And then there were also some texts that were released that apparently he was sending her texts at all hours of the day. At one point he said, quote, Cassie, referring to Cassie, is a selfish person who isn't ready to be loved, and called her shady. He later apologized, saying that he was lost. And since, you know, sources have said, sources with a quote around them, in my opinion, that Cassie is doing this for attention, and that they were in the midst of filming a reality show about their breakup. It involved Colton, Cassie, and her entire family. So Michelle Randolph got to posting on Instagram this week saying that her parents never signed anything, were never part of any type of show. This is Colton's attempt to make Cassie look bad in the press. She also says that she and her boyfriend have not filmed or signed any contracts about this supposed show. Seems like it was probably like a sizzle reel, maybe. A sizzle reel, you guys, is like a proof of concept. It's like a mini episode, basically, of a proposed show idea. And I've heard, I'm not sure where I heard it from, but that it was going to be about them dealing with their breakup, mm-hmm. or like continuing to be friends after their breakup. And all these sources are, I'll just be like honest, like just with what I'm thinking. Like, I just really trust Cassie. I think that she is the kind of person that would never seek attention like this. I really don't think that she cares. Like, she wants to be a speech pathologist. Mm-hmm. She probably likes the additional income that her bachelor fame brings her, but she is not the kind of person that is ever going to go and do something for attention, especially getting a restraining order for no apparent reason on her ex-boyfriend.
Well, and we talked about it before, and I know the listeners out there, you know, Colton had a great following, a big following, and listeners out there probably right now are hearing this and going, wait, why aren't you being more supportive of Colton? And I want to preface all this and say that we aren't not supportive of Colton. There, Ashley has spoken out many times against cancel culture. We're not saying cancel Colton.
Oh,
we're not saying
not cancel at all.
We're not saying, hey, forget about Colton. But what we need to report is that the restraining order was granted. And that's a legal process that goes far beyond a show or fame or anything. Like, if a restraining order is granted, I think we all need to take a step back and realize, hey, there was a proven amount of facts there that made a judge, an impartial judge, say this needed to be put in place. Like, this was a good decision for Cassie to do. Now, at the end of all this, I know Ashley and I talk offline about it. Like, we want both parties to heal, to recover, to come back from this in some way, right? We don't want either of them to just disappear and to be hated on. That's not the point. This is far bigger than the attention they could get from a show or from fame. And I know the Colton supporters out there are going to go, holy cow, like, you guys, like, you know, you don't know the fact. Like, no, we don't know all the facts, but a judge does.
Exactly.
And what we need to say here is, hey, what Cassie did, the judge said okay to. What Colton did was obviously out of place and was wrong. It doesn't mean that he needs to be forgotten or pushed aside. It doesn't mean that people need to hate him. What it does mean, though, and I think for all of us, and I will go on my soapbox here, and I know somebody out there is going, Ben, stop talking. I'm going to say this. What it does mean, though, is that in this time, we need to be sensitive to Cassie. We also need to be sensitive to Colton, but we need to understand that there was wrongs here that happened, and we need to accept that. We need to accept that there was wrongs done in this process, and this is not a joking thing. This is a big deal. This is not a small matter. This is something that has obviously changed their lives, both of their lives. And we hope that Colton can come out of this humbled, educated, a better person. We also hope Cassie can come out of this feeling safe, feeling protected, feeling cared for and loved on. But with all this being said, listeners and Colton fans, you have to realize where we're at now, which was not where we were at a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a place where this is going to court. And that means
these are facts now, not alleged rumors.
Yes.
Or alleged allegations.
But do not cancel these are Colton.
Pretty much facts.
In the process.
Don't cancel him. Yeah, no.
Don't cancel him. Don't hate on him. In times of great despair and of great need, we need healing and we need love. And both of these people need that right now. So don't cancel Colton, but recognize that there was a problem.
Yeah. And Ben, how would you feel if Colton just came out, was super honest and said, like, look, I was hurting. I was in a very sad, depressed place, wanting my girlfriend back, missing my ex-girlfriend and somebody who was my first serious relationship. And I went a little overboard. Like, I crossed the line. And I hope people accept my apology on this and that I'll learn from it. Right. How would you feel if you did that?
I mean, it's the Hannah Brown thing, right? Like, I like Hannah. I love Hannah. She's a fun person to watch. But for weeks we were sitting here on this podcast going, Hannah, we just need you to talk, like, say something so that like we can then come about this in an educated way. But when there's nothing being said, we sit here assuming things and reading things and hearing things, and we don't know what to do with it. It's the same thing here with Colton. Is Colton, he's not untouchable. He messed up. And I think at some point, whenever he's ready, just like Hannah waited till she was ready, and it's his timeline, it's Cassie's timeline, then it would be nice to hear him come out. And I mean, it looks like right now what we would need, for definitely Cassie's sake, is probably a public apology saying he was wrong. But hey... And I don't know how far he went with this. Like, I don't know how scared she was, and I don't know all the behind the scenes. What I do know is love does crazy things to you.
Oh, yeah.
And what I do know is love can change you as a person overnight. And so if Colton came out and said, hey, I went too far. I made big and terrible mistakes, but I did it because I was broken. My response to him would be, I get it. Yes, you were wrong. I get it. And now what are we going to do about it?
Right. I feel like people are more apt to forgive when people are being honest than like forgive him if he were to just keep denying these, like if he keeps denying them, I think it's going to be a worse look. That's what I mean.
Well, and we can all blame everybody else for our problems. We can blame, it's a common thing on the show. Come off the show, blame producers if it's not what you wanted it. Come off the show, blame the cast, blame other people. Blame, if we're in relationships, blame your exes. All these things, right? But at some point, I'm learning this right now, like we all have to own up to our issues. And you know this as somebody who's married, right? Like in a marriage, you can't just blame your spouse the whole time. That's not going to go well for you.
No.
Like, you have to start taking ownership for your mutual mistakes and the things that you've done that were out of hand, out of line, no matter how big of a deal they are. And this is a big deal, and we're wishing the best for both of them, but we're really sensitive here to Cassie and the fact that she's walking through something that is obviously not ideal. Well, hey, yeah. Speaking of...
Speaking of blaming producers.
Yeah, Peter Weber, who I really do love deeply, and who's a great guy, but I don't know where this comes from. Ashley, I need you to teach me. Peter Weber implies he's going to spill bachelor tea when his NDA is up. This is according to Cosmopolitan.
Well, to be honest, Ben, I can't believe that The Bachelor hasn't extended their NDA time.
That's true. Because, they have that option, right?
Right? Is our contract, like... Do we have to be secretive about certain things for the rest of our lives? And then there are certain things that we can start talking about? Or are we like total free will on Bachelor production after our contract ends? Do you know this?
It's a little sticky. So
yeah, exactly.
If you use the Bachelor name and you associate whatever you're saying and doing with the Bachelor, then you need their approval for perpetuity. Like they have your rights to air your season, to use that for as long as this show exists and even after.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the tea and whatever kind of tea that is, it gets sticky. Like it's not a clear cut thing for any of us.
But there have been so many Bachelor tell-alls, and the tell-alls do give you some good dirt. And it looks like Peter might be doing a tell-all. So Cosmo wrote this article. I think that they're like stretching here. They said that under an Instagram of Peter's, he writes comments towards the fans. You know, he asks them and says, I'll explain myself one day. He also said, happy y'all are together. Somebody said, happy you all are together, but I wasted my time on this season. This fan means I shouldn't have watched your season. I wasted my time on it because like you didn't end up with. You ended up with the girl that you've met before the season. And that's when he said, I'll explain myself one day. And then he also said in the comments, there's just so much no one knows about it yet. So it'll be good to get it out there. And then he also said to a fan that his NDA is over on March 15th, 2021. And from these comments, Cosmo fans, they're speculating that he's going to either put a podcast out or a book out or something like that that will explain why he and Kelly never got together on the show. Kelly did an Insta story this week, kind of going off of this. She said, somebody said in her questions on Instagram, why didn't Peter pick you the first time? We all knew it was fate. And I do feel like their coupling was very fate-like. I mean, they met before the show. They definitely hit it off. There just was something there, I always felt. But she says, as her answer, Peter was told / thought I didn't like him and I was only there to have fun. That's kind of what her storyline was on the show, that she was... that she wasn't all in on Peter the guy because she wasn't like sure she really was getting to know him and then she felt like the show was just not a place for her to find love, and that everybody was saying like, oh, Kelly doesn't seem to be taking this seriously, she's only here to have fun. Like, this is kind of stuff we've already known. So yeah, we'll see if there's more depth to this mystery of why Kelly and Peter didn't end up on the show together on March 15th, possibly. Do you think it's a smart idea if he does a tell-all on this?
I mean, it matters in what form. You can do a podcast and start talking about the show, which has obviously been a great thing for you and I. I would never tell anybody not to do it. I think it's a great thing. You and I enjoy doing it. Obviously, there's been others that have came about and been very successful talking about the show and breaking down every episode. And I would support anybody that does that. If that's his format, great. If it's a book, again, I mean, on a day that my book gets released, I'm going to say, write a book. Like, it's therapeutic. It's hard. It's difficult. You have to really start confronting your own things. And if it's a tell-all form, I'm sure he's going to be reliving memories from the show that he's probably forgotten or tried to forget, and he'll be writing them down, which could be therapeutic. I don't know what has not been shown in his season, though. That's the part that I'm going to be shocked by, because I felt like his season showed more of the behind the scenes than any season ever. I mean, we had like parental issues. We had mass. I mean, I can't even still to this day remember how the triangle of love had existed. Like, it was Hannah Ann to then Maddie for like a few moments, and then now to Kelly, and now he's super happy with Kelly. If Peter called me and said, "Ben, what should I do?" I say, "Hey, do what you got to do." But this has all worked out pretty good for you. Like, people love you. People are still celebrating you. You've got a great girl now. This is all played out. Now, maybe not how you dreamed it would be, and it wasn't like perfectly, like perfect. Like, there were issues involved, but it's a good thing for you. And I would just be cautious anytime anybody wants to take a good thing and make it bad.
Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, I can't. If there was a girl on your season, and let's just pretend the producers were like, "Ben, she's just here to have fun, blah, blah, blah." Would you really listen to the producers that much?
No. But but also, with all that being said, and if Peter came on the podcast now, I know he would tell you, like, he did. I mean, one of his biggest things was he couldn't get a grasp of what was going on in that environment at the time. I mean, it was the whole thing, the whole season was, "Peter, put your foot down. Stop the chaos. Stop the gossip. Stop the controversy. Like, say something, like, you know, lead this thing forward a little bit." And it was the one thing as The Bachelor, like, that people will criticize him for the most. But the other part about Peter that people will celebrate is the guy's super lovable. He really wanted to find love. He was really in the pursuit of love on this show. He did it to the best of his ability, and he found it. So I don't know. I guess I go back to this, and we can move forward with this. I don't know what else there is to say. So I'm intrigued. I'll be listening. And, you know, Peter Weber is going to spill the tea. At least that's what people think. Once his NDA is up, and at that point in time, we'll break it down again. I mean,
there are stories like this. There's a lot of stories like this from Bachelor Nation. Yeah. There's Molly Mesnick and Jason Mesnick. Honestly, there's me and Jared. It's like we dated other people on the show, and you find the person you're meant to be with along the way. It doesn't mean that you don't have feelings for other people. It's really about timing, and it's about like getting to know yourself. And sometimes, like in my case and like in Molly's case, you actually need to be separated from the franchise for a while in order for people to discover what they really want and need.
Well, that's everybody's love story, right? It's timing, it's place. You could fall for multiple people in your journey, but at some point you end, you know, all the roads lead to that partner, that person that matches you best. And so we'll see. We'll be watching. Speaking of women for my season, I do want to give a special shout out and a congratulations to Lauren Heimel, who got married recently. She was on the podcast just a few weeks ago, breaking down the episode of The GOAT that Lauren and I were in. Congratulations to Lauren Heimel. Big deal.
Congrats to Lauren. Also congrats to Kenny King, who is engaged. It was the perfect place and perfect person, the couple says. So I think he was pretending to his girlfriend that they were having a family picture day. Yeah. So she was all like cute and dressed up, and she said that he had other plans, and she says on her Instagram, "Of course I say yes to forever with you." Oh. Kenny King is so underrated in Bachelor Nation. What a freaking sweetheart.
Oh, great guy.
What a great warmth about him.
Yeah, that's just that. I mean, those are good stories. And there's more good stories to talk about. Catherine and Sean Lowe obviously have a few kids. They have three kids. And Catherine has recently came out and said that parenting is a SHIT show. This is according to Us Weekly. Ashley, what's she referring to?
Well, basically, they have one kid in diapers. They have a two-year-old and a four-year-old. And she just says that everything about their day is somehow related to poop. She goes, "It's always poop. And somehow we've never gotten sick or had pink eye, knock on wood. But I've never had pink eye. It's like a constant show around here." before we have kids, this is funny. This happens all the time to us. Before you have kids, she says, people are always trying to sell you on the fact that it's like such an amazing life. Like, oh, kids are the best, right? And she said, they say that so you join the exhaustion club with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. We've been around Jade and Tanner enough to, I feel like, know what we're getting into, and it seems rough.
I mean, it's rough, and like my buddy, who has three kids now, he and I used to kind of like hang out together when we were single and go out together, and I recently saw him in Denver, and there's a joy to it that's like indescribable, and there's an energy that comes to you as a parent, it feels like, that like I don't have right now. But then again, I watched my buddy when I hung out with him with his three kids. His head is constantly on a swivel. There's constantly something breaking. There is, yeah, diapers being changed. There's kids disappearing. Like, it. I left there and I said, I still want kids. I'm still confident in that.
But, I get scared every time.
Yeah, but like, I'm scared. Like, so scared.
I love having a neat, clean house. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one of the things that's not on the top of my mind when we think about kids, but it's something I'm going to miss so much.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. But Catherine and Sean have always been good at highlighting their family and talking about the ins and outs of parenting. It's just a great article to read if you get a chance. But Catherine and Sean, wishing you the best. And yes, thanks for being honest.
Yeah, Ben, I have a question about kids for you. And I know this is like a long time coming because you and Jess aren't married yet, but you guys plan to move to Denver, right?
Yes.
So that means that neither of your parents are going to be there. Do you feel like having a set of the parents there, the first kid, or maybe even just always, is something that you would want?
Yeah. I do. I mean, I think that's something Jess and I really want. Is our family, like both of our sets of parents are so awesome. I mean, one of the coolest things about my relationship with Jess is I really love her parents and her family, like deeply. And she feels the same way about mine. I want them involved because I just think they're good influences. And I think they're a good help. And I think they would help guide us in our most troubled times. And here's maybe one of the biggest reasons, selfishly. Jess and I have talked about this often. Is we really want to have kids, but also still have a relationship, and we mm-hmm. want to go out on dates, and we want to explore together. And I think having a like one of our parents there really would help that, and actually add to the child's life. Like, it wouldn't take away anything. It wouldn't make us less, or wouldn't make us parents who push our kids to the side. It would just make them be able to experience their grandparents, and I want that for them.
I totally agree. You're right. You're able to keep more of a relationship together when you have your parents to lean on.
Yes. So. It is important to us, and it might not be for everybody, but it is for us. Switching gears quite a bit from relationships and parenting to now, Rachel Lindsay details her first conversation with ex Peter Krause since The Bachelorette. This according to E! News Online.
Yeah, so apparently back in June, it seems, during the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement, he reached out to her. He, quote, he was asking me questions about it and stuff for some advice about responses he had gotten. She said, we're adults here and we can all move on. You know, so it's pretty simple, but that's that.
I mean, I don't know what to do with this, but it is interesting that they spoke again, right? I mean, but I look at like JoJo.
Exactly. I was going to say most of the leads end up talking to or even being friends with their runner up.
Definitely, because there's like that respect, and you obviously know the person. You're like, yeah, I like you. Like, I care about you a lot as a human. Like, I obviously, and so not shocking, but it's a big deal. And for me, I remember our very first conversation, and it was almost like a weight lifted. I don't know if it was for her, but for me, it was just like, okay, good. Now we'll probably see each other at events. We'll probably be around each other more than you would be with a typical ex. And it's great now that we can at least come into it like as friends with that mutual respect and care for each other. And I'm sure Rachel and Peter are going to now be able to do the same thing, which is really awesome. Speaking of exes and somebody I'm a friend with, Caitlin Bristow just continues to keep the headlines. Caitlin Bristow is on Dancing with the Stars. If you don't know that, well, I don't know where you've been.
Well, you don't listen to the podcast yeah. and you don't watch TV and all that.
And here's something really exciting about Caitlin. She danced to a song by Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga actually retweeted this. So she saw it, and she says, and I quote, "It made her cry."
I know, Lady Gaga said, "Isn't it weird? Is it weird that this made me cry? I love watching people happy and dancing." So Lady Gaga knows who Caitlyn is. And if I were Caitlyn, I'd be like, wow, that is maybe the coolest moment of my life.
It's just one of those, like, I don't know how Caitlyn feels. I mean, Caitlyn's just a big deal and she's everywhere.
I know. She's a celebrity in her. She's like such a celebrity that maybe it doesn't excite her to see other celebrities watch her.
I'd be freaking out. I would be off the wall if Lady Gaga retweeted me. I'd be telling my family, my friends, my grandma. Like, that would be wild. But good for Caitlyn. She's still on Dancing with the Stars. Ashley, how is she doing?
I think she's doing really well. I saw her dance last week, you know, as I hope all you guys did. She did a fantastic cha-cha with Artem. And Dancing with the Stars airs Tuesday this week. So now that you're listening to this podcast, either late Monday night or Tuesday, make sure to tune in, watch Caitlyn, and vote, vote, vote.
Bachelor Nation just comes out and supports. I mean, you know, it's just a great place. Just a great place to spread love and to show the support for the people who have gone on the show. It'd be absolutely incredible if Caitlyn mm-hmm. could win once again. Last two headlines. One is we just want to once again send our warmest regards and also just our happiest of thoughts to Liz yes. Sandoff from The Bachelor. The more details have come out, according to people, that Liz says that their recently born child, I think it's Jovie, J-O-V-I-E, Noel, mm-hmm. was not breathing when she was born, which has to be so scary as a parent. But
so scary.
As they go on in the article and talk about it, it was a everything's good now. It was tough. It was one of those really scary moments. But Jovie Noel and the family are healthy and good. And we just want to say once again, we talked about it last week, but we just want to say once again how thankful we are for that. And that is the headline of the article. So, hey, Ashley, you know, we've talked for a while now. We've talked through the season of COVID. It's actually been really good, I think, for us and our podcast and the listeners. We've had a good time with it. But we're soon approaching a season that we won't have to talk about headlines and do interviews. We're actually gonna have a season to break down.
Woohoo!
More teasers are coming out. Ashley, this week, as we get 1 week closer to Claire's season, what are you feeling and what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, how many great puns do they have with Claire's name?
Oh my
God. You want
gosh.
Clarity. You want to clarify. What other ones are there?
You want to clear the air? I don't know.
Yes. So many great puns. So much pretty Claire. But they definitely are alluding to in these new spots that are airing during Dancing with the Stars. That there's some sort of announcement that we are just dying to have that they haven't given us yet, which would be Tayshia.
Well, I mean, yes, I think we're all assuming it's going to be Tayshia. But the cool part is, Ashley, one of the things that you and I are both worried about is if Claire left early for whatever reason, we're going to miss the Claire moments that we were expecting, right?
We are.
Her
we
directness.
Are.
But we're going to get it. Like, we've already seen in the teasers. She yells at a contestant, get out of here. And then we see Chris Harrison doing what Chris Harrison does best, with sitting down with her, having that relationship conversation. I mean, we're going to get – I don't know if we're going to get enough Claire, but we're going to get at least some Claire still during this season.
Oh, we're going to get quintessential Claire, but you're right, Ben, and I haven't quite said it blatantly, but when I did hear that she, you know, might have left the show early, I was like, oh, I was really hoping for 11 weeks of Claire, and I would love 11 weeks of Tayshia too, you know, like two separate bachelorette seasons, but I was definitely looking forward to so much Claire-isms, and we're only going to get possibly a few weeks of them. So, but you're right. I think she will deliver in the weeks that she has.
Yeah, Claire will still be Claire. She doesn't change no matter how long or short she's there. Ashley, up next, we have one of Caitlin Bristow's exes, one of our good friends, Chris Strandberg, on the podcast, breaking down everything Caitlin and who knows what else. I mean, he's a dentist, so I'm sure we're going to talk to him about that. And possibly a relationship he's been in for 2 years and been pretty quiet about. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Chris Strandberg on the podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, Chris Strandberg is on the podcast for the first time since these guys, and I'm talking about you and the producers, Ben, tried to set me up with him like 4 years ago.
Oh, yes. That would have been good.
Oh, man, good old days. Our little guys, lunch, our dinner date.
Yes, you guys made me blush and feel awkward at all times. Every episode, you wouldn't let it die. Anyway, now the last time I saw Chris, which is a very sad fact, was at my wedding. My wedding, something very funny happened. Like, if we had a reality show, like if The Bachelor came and taped our wedding, like this would be a really funny focal point. Took yourself to the hospital the day of my wedding. Can you explain this story?
Well, you know, I'm really tough. I'm good at all sports. And it's no surprise that I would get a concussion playing touch football on the beach.
Chris, okay, this is good. This is where we need to dive.
But wait a minute. Maybe somebody touched me really hard, you think? No. Nobody touched me. I just jumped for the ball and landed on my head.
Like, you were very... The guys didn't hide the fact that you were very awkward at playing football. They're like, he said that he was going to be awkward, but we didn't think it was going to be this bad. And then you jumped, you hit the back of your head, and then you ended the game with that. Like, they all had to stop.
They had to stop because suddenly I didn't know how I got there. Literally, I lost
to the beach,
like the previous 12 hours of memory.
12 hours?
Yeah, I literally had to call my mom and I was like, hey mom, so I'm fine, but how did I get here? Can you walk me through the last 12 hours?
That's not a scary phone call from a mom. Hey mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'm fine. I just don't remember life.
Wait. Now that I'm thinking about this was the day of our rehearsal dinner. Right. Jared didn't play football on the day of our wedding. Yeah, okay. The rehearsal dinner. Ben, you were there.
Yeah, we're on the beach in Newport and there is a pass thrown to Chris who jumps up in the air to grab it. And it was actually, I mean, for what Chris lacks in catching ability, he makes up for in his jumping skills. He's a very good
levitation.
Huge. He has a very good jump. So he jumps up. Well, he doesn't catch the ball, but what he does do is he falls backwards onto his back and he hits his head against the sand, which automatically, I guess, knocked Chris's memory just completely gone. He starts wandering the beach. The game ends because we no longer have even sides. And Chris takes himself to the hospital, which came out fine. Nothing major. He was okay. He showed up to the rehearsal dinner that evening. He made the most
of it.
Memory came back. He remembers the love story that Ashley and Jared portrayed to all of us. But I will say, I have never seen somebody get so hurt in a touch football game. Ever.
It's one of my skills, you know. I'm extra fragile, and I took that fall like a champ.
Hey, I'd take a doctor over an athlete any day, and I'm pretty sure most women out there would, including your girlfriend?
Including my girlfriend.
Who you've been with for how long?
2 years.
Wow. How's it going?
It's going good. COVID hasn't got us down.
How much time have you spent together during COVID?
How much time did she and I spend together?
Yeah.
a good amount, but not all the time. I'd say about half the week.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
She's pretty busy with her new job. So, yeah. And then our schedules are a little bit off, but we make a good amount of time.
Has the dental industry, would you, the dental field, been affected by COVID? Because when I think about going to get a cleaning now, I'm like, I feel pretty safe a lot of places, but with my mouth open like that, I feel pretty susceptible, pretty vulnerable.
It's the one place you're required not to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Can't wear a mask over your mouth at the dentist.
Well, oh, I thought like when you walked in, like you couldn't have a mask on. No, when you sit down in the chair, that makes sense. The, I mean, but you're staying upright. Things are okay. You right now, as we talk to Chris, he's in his scrubs and he has a bonnet on his head. It's blue
to match.
Yeah. Chris, we saw recently you've been doing more and more kind of like beauty tips and kind of, you took over Amazon's Beauty Week or whatever it was.
Oh, cool. I'm doing that on Friday.
Yeah. So we did an Amazon Live. There was a deal of the day that Waterpik had with some of their products. So I did a live stream with them. And now there's a special beauty day. So I guess, you know, your teeth are considered a beauty product. So a couple of the Waterpik products are going on sale and I'm hosting a live stream of that.
Oh, amazing.
What are some of the tips that you would give to, like, okay, if for any of our listeners who are not beauty experts, some of them probably are, but they just wonder what are some of the secret tips to taking care of your teeth. What are some of the tips that you would give?
Number one, you have to be consistent. People will be on a good roll with their teeth and then they'll kind of fall off. It happens when people get stressed out, things happen in life. Home care takes a, you know, backseat. It feels like a low priority, but staying consistent with is important. But you got to clean between your teeth. Where stain develops, toothbrushes often can't, even though you're brushing your teeth, the stain develops in the creases of your teeth between, right?
Yeah.
Bad breath happens from bacteria collecting between your teeth and below your gum line. So you got to clean those spaces. And I'm sorry, but the toothbrush alone doesn't do that. And, you know, I tried for a few years working in dental practice, telling people to floss, 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 using string floss. And then even the people who are good, they're not doing it right because it's very technique sensitive. So finally, I'm just like, okay, what else is there? And you just take a jet stream of water and then you power wash between your teeth.
It's kind of simple,
makes sense, but it doesn't seem like, okay, well, is that effective? Well, you're breaking up the bacteria and you're getting in deeper than you could with the string. So you're really cleaning it out. But in addition to that, with the string, you're kind of leaving some of that debris in between your teeth. But with the water, you rinse it away. So, you know, they've done tons of studies on this. And every time it's like twice as effective as the other way, a string floss. I'm a big believer in it.
Do you Waterpik before you brush them?
I do. I think that's a great way to do it because the reason that we use fluoride in toothpaste is to repair the enamel. And if the in-between surfaces of your teeth are clean from having just water flossed, then when you brush, the fluoride will soak into your teeth and repair the sides of your teeth.
Here's my issue. I have one issue with this.
Yeah.
So I had a Waterpik for a bit, and I'd pick my teeth as often as I could.
Thank you. But then
my mirror is covered in water pellets, and it's going everywhere, and it felt disgusting, and it was hitting my face, and I couldn't keep the water inside of my mouth. It was flying everywhere. My technique's obviously failing. How do I do this better?
So two ways you can fix your problem. Number one, they make a waterproof version that you can take in the shower.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Rechargeable. It's really cool. My favorite one's the Cordless Advanced. But another thing is break up your mouth into small sections. So don't try to rinse your whole mouth out at a time with the floss. You keep your hand, like there's normally like a power button or an on-off switch. So close your lips around the tip and then just do 5 teeth and then turn it off and spit and then repeat and repeat. So you're only getting a little bit of water in your mouth each time. If you switch to that method, rather than trying to do the whole thing, you're like overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, my mouth is filling up with water. Just break it up into little sections. Overnight, it will change. You won't get the mirror anymore. It won't get on your chin or your shirt.
Huge.
Well, I love the way that this has become a beauty podcast.
So I was going to say this was not the intention.
Yeah, we're going to title this Bachelor Beauty, and I have two questions in that realm for you. One, whitening toothpaste. I know that a lot of dentists don't they think that whitening toothpaste like strips the enamel?
Yes.
Okay. So Jared did some research on what the best whitening toothpaste was. And it said on the internet that it was Arm & Hammer. So he got the Arm & Hammer and I was like, this tastes disgusting. And how in the world is this the number one for whitening? Because the Crest and Colgate, they just brand the shit out of their whitening stuff. And I really believe it with like all their little like sparkles in the toothpaste. And then after a month or so, I'm like, holy crap, your teeth are almost whiter than mine now. It was a significant improvement, more than I've ever seen. And Chris is doing a little jig over there. Are you dancing at what I'm saying?
I'm dancing.
You like that? You like what happened here?
So the philosophy for whitening your teeth with the toothpaste, two ways your teeth get yellow. There's the surface stain, the junk on top of your teeth, and then there's the internal color of your teeth. The surface stain is minimized by keeping them, you know, keeping that film, that plaque, keeping them off your teeth. The other thing is bleaching the inside of your tooth, which is like all of those things that you see on TV or on Instagram. Mm-hmm. How do I bleach my teeth? You use mm-hmm. hydrogen peroxide. The certain other products that you mentioned contain really abrasive little, like almost sand. It's hydrated silica. And that scratches your teeth surfaces to remove, quote unquote, like the surface stain. But hydrated silica is really damaging to enamel. So Arm & Hammer actually has more sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda. And that's what mm-hmm. you taste. And it's mm-hmm. the sodium. It's kind of like this weird, salty, grainy
taste.
That's
the downside. I'm like, babe, yeah. I don't know how you brush your teeth with this.
Yeah. Well, my favorite formula for taste and also for just for all around is called Bright and Strong. And okay. it's by Arm & Hammer. Okay. But the difference is that the baking soda is not abrasive to your enamel. Mm-hmm. Instead, it breaks up the plaque in a different way, almost in a chemical way. So it's not as abrasive. It sort of melts it away, but that doesn't affect your enamel at all. Okay. So that's number one, is that it removes the surface stains more gently and more effectively. Number two, it contains hydrogen peroxide so that day in, day out, you're doing this, it's soaking in deeper than the surface and it's brightening up from the inside.
Great to know. Thank you. I love this stuff. Number two, I notice, and I've told you this a number of times and I will bite the bullet one day, that my teeth are really shifting on the bottom. And my question to you is, if you had braces as a kid, is it inevitable that your teeth will shift again if you at all stop your retainer?
It is almost without exception inevitable. And it's because there's a genetic adaptation where teeth are designed to shift forward. Because as we age, our teeth actually rub against each other and they get smaller. So gaps would develop between our teeth unless they were shifting forward, like everybody, you know, stay close in line. And then obviously ancient history, people lost their teeth a lot more frequently. If you have a big missing space there, it's not ideal, but if your teeth move forward to close the gap, it tends to be better. So there's that element, which is teeth move forward. And then over time, it can increase. If your bite is off, if it's not stable, then teeth will crowd more often. And also if you get gum disease, the bone support will actually degrade and that makes teeth more movable. And then they'll tend to lean forward as well. So unfortunately, it's as deep as like genetics. So you need to keep your retainer in to maintain straight teeth pretty much no matter what.
There's not many things I'm great at in life, but I am really good at wearing my retainer. I wear it every night. Chris, I just wanted to tell you that so like you would feel like I'm a little bit better of a human. I hope that worked. It's a genuine need, but yes.
Ben, you always know how to sweet talk me.
I'm really getting in deep here. I am pretty good at it. Ashley, any more beauty tips?
Well, no, I do have a marketing ploy for you though. So if I was a publicist of a boy band, I would tell them too that they all have to remain single in order to get the girls to come to the concerts, you know, because the girls need to have that fantasy of getting with them. With you as the hot dentist opening a new office, I would have not even brought up your girlfriend and just tried to get everybody that listens to our podcast to go to your office. And then when they're there and sucked in by your talent, then they'd be like, oh, he's not single. Darn it.
They see the picture. They see the picture on the desk of him and his girl smiling. Well, Chris, to end this, to talk about your girlfriend the one last time, I have two big questions for you, okay? One's going to be a softball question, and I'll wait to end it with that. The first one is, how is your girlfriend's breath?
My girlfriend, well, come on. I'm on her about brushing and flossing twice a day, so she's perfect, and you know I'd not accept anything different than that. But fortunately, she's kind of like a neat freak and health freak anyways, so it didn't take long, but she's got the water pick, she's got the toothpaste, so it's minty all the time.
You're getting all giddy talking about that. I haven't seen you get giddy yet, but we start talking about your girlfriend's breath and you're squirming in your chair, you're smiling big. I mean, you know how to get to Chris's heart. The last question for you, buddy, is what are your favorite characteristics about your girlfriend? Like, what are you really, like, after 2 years, what have you learned that you really appreciate about her?
She's just such a sweetheart. I mean, she cares about me so much. If I'm stressed out, she's there for me. She's supportive. And she really is encouraging. I mean, if, you know, you have self-doubt sometimes, and she just like believes in me so much. So I would say that that's the thing. Also, we can talk and talk and talk forever. She's always got like something interesting to say. And I feel like that for me in the past, that's been kind of a holdup, is you just kind of run out of things to talk about. But she and I are always having some good conversations. So I don't know. She's just very engaging, and she's got a big heart.
Let's talk about your ex-girlfriend, Caitlin Bristow, for a second. Are you watching her on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh my gosh, she did so good.
She did so good.
Awesome.
Even Lady Gaga thought she did well.
I saw that.
I mean,
I'm so happy for Caitlin, because any one of these elements in isolation would have been enough to just make everything for her, make her year, but they're all happening together and she's actually doing well. So I know it'd be hard to have, like, it would be two bachelorettes in a row if she wins, right?
Yeah.
I know that'd be, seems unprecedented.
Yeah.
But I think she could do it.
Bachelor Nation totally strong. They support. They love hard.
Come on, stick together, Bachelor Nation. It's been a rough year for Bachelor Nation with COVID and having to wait for the shows. Like, rally around Caitlin.
Absolutely. I love that advice. Now, if people want to visit you, become a new patient, where should they go?
To the wait list.
There's going to be the longest wait list.
You can go to my website, visiondentalmv.com. That's MV for Mar Vista. Or you can go to Toothstagram or my regular Instagram page. Also, I wanted to throw out there, starting at 4 a.m. tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a media blitz with Waterpik. So I'm doing like 15 to 20 interviews across like the nation about Waterpik products, going on local news shows. So they've been keeping me busy recently.
Are you going to be like on the cover of Waterpik, the box? Because I feel like you should. It would be a great selling point.
Maybe, you know, that'd be cool. But
I don't buy a lot of things for the box, but I'd buy that. That's a good looking box right there. Chris Strandberg, you're the man. We love you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your beauty tips with us. And best of luck to you and the girlfriend as you move forward. Chris Strandberg.
You're fantastic.
Thanks. Love you guys. Hope to see you soon in person.
Bye, Chris. Love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Chris is always great. Sweet guy. And to you listeners, we want to remind you once again to follow our Instagram page. We are tracking it. We've been very active on posting on it, which is awesome. It's on Instagram. It's almost_famous podcast. Go out and follow that for all of the clips from our show, some more behind the scenes footage. It's going to be a lot of fun for us to interact with you in a different way. But we also always love it when you email us. Continue to email us at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com. And we got an email from Maddie that we're going to respond to right now. She says, I have this burning question. She says, you two seem to have a great relationship with everyone in Bachelor Nation. Does it ever feel hard to give headlines on good friends of yours, even if they're positive headlines?
Well, not positive headlines, in my opinion. Positive headlines are always easy, but these controversial headlines, especially that we've been getting over the past year, have been very awkward to talk about. And even if you're not friends with them, you've met them a few times. And I feel like what Ben always says about in-depth podcasts, once you know someone, it's hard to ever, hard to not like them. Yeah. So yeah, it's a challenge to talk about some of these topics about our friends and acquaintances, but we also hope that they respect that this is like our job and that they have chosen to be public figures who should expect to be spoken about in the media.
I mean, some of my friends, if I were to do something that was off center, and I would expect them to talk about it, I'd have no problem with that. It wouldn't be fun, right? It's not ideal, but that's the world that we live in. I will say this though, before, like, especially right now, like Colton and Cassie are as a scenario we can talk about because it's going on right now. Mm-hmm. Ashley and I do spend time off of the podcast talking about each other's emotions and feelings and trying to get to a place that's not unhealthy, I guess, would like at least a place that's been thought through and not mm-hmm. speaking from reaction, but speaking from, hey, what's being reported? What are people saying? How do you feel about this? How do I feel about it? And then we can come on here and have a little bit of a wiser conversation that still touches everything that we're feeling and thinking. It just might not be so reactionary, because I think reaction would get us into trouble and oftentimes have us saying things that just aren't true. That completely. Just becomes more difficult because it takes more time. But it's not fun. And it's all, I mean, let's just be honest with everything here. Like, you all are fans of the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. It's not fun for you either to hear these headlines. Like, it's not like you're celebrating the fact that there's drama and trauma and issues going on in the lives of these people who you've watched and rooted for and celebrated. Like, it's hard for everybody involved, including the people. But we have the unique position that we need to talk about it because it is what we signed up for. It is what we've agreed to do. It's not fun, though.
And we hope that all these people know that if they do want a platform to talk about it, that we are giving it to them here too. So we never want to just talk about them. We like to talk with them if they feel comfortable.
100%. Well, Ashley, it's been another week of the Almost Famous podcast. And
it has.
You go heal that face of yours. Is that the right word to say? Can I say healing?
Yeah.
It? Okay.
Yeah, it's healing.
Yeah,
and I also want to thank everybody who wrote on our message boards on Facebook. The Almost Famous message boards is a really fun place for us to go and look too for feedback on the podcast, and you guys have given us some good feedback there or helpful feedback. And I also just want to let you know that all of those suggestions that you guys had for in-depth podcasts are definitely being considered.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking you guys, Emily Maynard, she hasn't responded to us. We really, really want her to come on. So if you can do anything to push that, we'd love that. Not push too hard or be rude, but you know, like a loving push. And then I think Corinne is a great idea for an in-depth too. So keep that feedback coming. We love you so much. And for now, Ben, you got to sign off first because that's how we do it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, thank you all. Thank you, Ashley. And with that, it's another week. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Toodaloo, y'all.
Later. Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula, to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has
existed.
You have
an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon. Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.